Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm Belinda Ellsworth, and we have a great show in store for you today. I have Joseph Alki with me today. Joseph is a marketing communications consultant, writer, editor, working primarily in B2B communications for the healthcare, financial, travel, and entertainment industries. Joseph has worked in various roles for Consumer Reports, Blue Shield of California, Delta Dental, McKesson, Smart Meetings, Live Oak Bank, with many other contract consulting and editorial assignments for technology, travel, and music industry-related publications, services, and websites. His work has covered a range of services, including journalism, brand development, product marketing planning, customer testimonials, event promotion, advertising, print collateral, digital communications, and video content development. Wow. Welcome, Joseph.
Oh, thank you, Belinda. It's so great to be here and talking to you. And as the people probably don't know listening, we've known each other for many years, so it's really fun to do this with you.
It is fun. And we have, we've known each other for many, many years and going back a long way. So it is big fun, especially exactly. On a new show, and it's exciting. So why don't you fill us in a little bit, Joseph, and tell us a little bit more about yourself and some of the other things that you're interested in.
Okay, sure. Yeah. I got my start many years ago at a university in Nashville, Tennessee, actually, where I studied business administration, mostly in the entertainment business. And later, I got my master's in creative writing. Ironically, I've gotten more work after I got a master's in creative writing than the old days when I was in my 20s after a business administration degree. But anyway, I found a lot of success after that in journalism and marketing management, business communications of all kinds, and I've found time to work on my creative projects as well. As a writer, I've published poetry, worked in theater, and also worked with documentary filmmaking. But I like to try... mostly, I guess, to say, is find projects that build on my skills and challenge me so that I learn new industries, I learn new channels of communications, new ways that people are doing things, and other marketing opportunities for myself and for the companies I end up working with.
Well, that is awesome. So obviously, you're self-employed, you have your own business, and you have really done that the majority of your life, which in a variety of different settings. So it's been really exciting. So how has that shaped your lifestyle today?
Well, I guess one of the things is I got to know myself, which was I'm a content creator, and I help other people realize their project through communications. So that sort of is always my goal. It's always to engage people or to entertain people or to promote something, obviously, whether it's sales or through some other marketing means. I think what's shaped it is the fact that I've worked both on my own independently on projects with one or two other people. I've worked with small and large businesses as a part of a team, as a consultant, or just as a freelance writer and editor. And I think working in this capacity independently allows me the freedom to work on projects that attract me. And I can move from what are my current interests to maybe being pushed into something I wouldn't normally choose, which is also interesting for me. And so I'm better able to provide advice to people as well because I have a broad range of experience with different industries. I call them my verticals of the healthcare industry, insurance, financial, you know, entertainment, and actually I'm in the Bay Area now, so I've actually worked with a lot of technology companies as well.
Oh, that's great. So what would you say are some of your greatest skill sets that have contributed to your overall success?
As I mentioned earlier, one of them is listening. I've always been a good listener, and that's part of being a writer. If you listen, you observe, you participate. When you're in a meeting with people, you listen to what they really want. You listen to what their objectives are, what their goals are. And that helps me distill a lot of complex information. And I'm able to put that into digestible little pieces that helps people communicate specific objectives to people, to specific audiences, and helps me provide services to a wide variety of people. I also draw upon experience, because what I find a lot in a lot of businesses now, there's a lot of super sharp MBA students out there, which they are wonderful, and they can crunch the numbers. But the experience is what you get from expediting a project, learning what needs to be in a project plan, making sure all the people on the team are the right people for the team. All of those sorts of things come from experience. And they offer you examples to build on how the organization should run, what kind of marketing strategies might help best. You know, and those sorts of things that I can recommend to people when I'm working on a new team.
Great. I would have to say that since you've worked in so many diverse industries, I would have to say that probably networking is probably a good skill set for you as well. Would you not agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, I've gotten gigs just because I've done a poetry performance in San Francisco or in Chicago or in New York. And people go like, oh, he must be able to write something else if he can get up on stage and do that. So that's a funny thing. And then I, of course, network through LinkedIn and through Facebook and those sorts of avenues. And I've lived in the San Francisco Bay Area a long time, so I have quite a history with graphic designers, with other editors, with writers, with marketing directors and CEO-level executives. And so I kind of have quite a pool that I can rely on in terms of networking. I also help other people. You'd be surprised how many times my helping someone connect with someone, even if it's not related to any work particularly for me, how that ends up turning out to be work for me.
I think that is a great point. And I think that that is the one thing, that's what I was hoping that you were going to bring out, is that people don't understand about what true networking is and its connections, whether you're connecting for yourself, but it's connecting others to other people, which then in return makes you extremely valuable and makes you top of mind to a lot of people. So I'm really glad that you brought up that point, because networking is much more complex and does require some time. You got to invest some time in that than just going to networking meetings, which I think a lot of people get confused about.
Exactly. And I can't recommend enough. Of course, I've been in the meetings and convention business, so I know the value of those. And it's not just about picking up brochures at a booth. It's hanging out with people in a lounge area. It's interacting with someone at a booth that may be not something you're looking for now, but it turns out you'll want it in the future. In my old days, promoting entertainers, actually, in Nashville, often we define the work as promotion, which is a lot about what networking is. You're just getting out there and talking, and just by talking about yourself, not pitching yourself, you're actually doing yourself a better service, I think.
Oh, that's another really, really great point. So tell us about an obstacle or challenge that you faced and then how you've worked through that.
Oh, let's see. Well, I think one recent example is I sometimes like to challenge myself by taking on projects that are a little bit outside my current scope. What it does is push me to learn, and I get frustrated and challenged, and I have to rely on outside resources. So one example is I took on a writing about something in the financial sector that I wasn't that familiar with, but I was ready to take it on. The client was ready to hire me. They had the resources to set me up so I could interview the right people, ask for background resources. All those sorts of things that I draw on are what, you know, is the most recent example, I guess, of something that was outside my comfort zone.
That's great. And is there ever been a time in just like looking for that next gig, if you will, where you're like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm at the end of this journey, or I need to be thinking about something different, and then all of a sudden something falls right in your lap? I'm sure you've had situations like that.
It does. But I'm also always working on it. So I always have other side projects that I'm researching so that I'm prepared to jump when someone asks me about something else. So I think this is an old piece of advice, but I read a lot. I read trade publications. I read trade publications that aren't in the business that I'm in. I read the business page in the New York Times. I read Google News. I have streams of content that's coming at me that I review every day. So I think that's kind of a little bit how that happens as well.
Oh, that's fabulous. And that's fabulous advice. I tried to do the same, is continually, I'm an avid reader, and you have to kind of just helps in conversations, even when you're doing the networking, because you have a little bit of knowledge on a variety of subjects, which I think helps you engage in conversation.
Yeah, I used to, one example is I used to work at a travel magazine, and I would have to go and meet, you know, some pretty heavy duty salespeople or marketing people. And I was never the most avid sports fan. So I would get the staff to give me a cheat sheet so I could talk intelligently about what sport was this month and who was winning and who was in play. So it was hilarious to get my little cheat sheet so I'd be prepared.
That's funny because I do the same thing. I predominantly work in a female industry, but occasionally either one of their husbands will be picking me up from the airport or I'll have a driver from that area picking me up. And I always try to know who the local sports team is, how they're doing, so that at least in I have that chance to converse with them on something that they might be excited about.
Exactly.
Great. So what does working from your happy place mean to you, both professionally and personally?
I think it's now that I've had this experience in a variety of things, I like being able to use my talents and work on the most creative projects I can find, work with strong, strategic-minded communicators and leadership from other companies. And of course, I'm happy when I see the end product. I get to see beautiful pieces. I am working on a 80-page brochure right now, which is going to be a beautiful thing for 4,500 people at a big event. And I think as an independent, what makes me happy is I can give more of a laser-like focus to specific projects that interest me the most and, you know, get to work in a variety of settings on a variety of subjects. I think I thrive in an atmosphere that I get to utilize my time and schedule my day that also fits my whole life. I also have a broad interest in the arts. I volunteer at theaters. I go and see concerts. I'm going to see Peter Frampton tomorrow night, for instance. And so I make time to work all those things in for arts, for family, for my friends. And if you live in the San Francisco Bay Area, you're a foodie, so you have to focus on food a lot of the time.
Yes, I remember a Peter Frampton concert in the 10th grade, Joseph, when you said that. That brings back some memories there. Awesome. So what is something then you're extremely proud of? Something that you've accomplished that you feel like, wow, I'm happy with that.
I think on a pure work level, I've gotten to write some nice feature stories. I once did the cover story for Business Traveler magazine out of London that was all about a deep analysis into frequent flyer and frequent hotel programs for business travelers. That was a really great one. I think also I'm a creative writer, so I'm a poet. I've published a couple of books and done some really fun performances throughout the Bay Area, New York, Chicago, Nashville, those sorts of things. And so I'm, of course, really proud of that and publishing in other literary journals. And I've also dabbled a little bit in documentary filmmaking. There was a film several years ago called Standing on My Sister's Shoulders, which is a great documentary about the women of the civil rights movement in Mississippi.
With a lot of women listening to this show, I'm sure they're going to appreciate that and check it out. So what advice would you give to others who really want to be entrepreneurs, who want to follow in this, finding their own path, finding their own way, making their dreams come true? What kind of advice would you give to people that maybe just haven't taken that leap?
I'm finding that those who are most successful understand themselves best, and they know how to communicate what those goals, objectives, and dreams are. I actually have gone back and forth from working within a large organization and being independent. At one point, I wasn't quite ready. I wasn't ready to be alone with myself and my own business to do that. So you've got to be really ready to do that and take the risks, be there 24 hours a day, and keep all of that practical as well, and understand what the risks are, understanding what the challenges are going to be, and understand how to plan for it. Those who have a plan usually deliver. Those who are just winging it, you can feel it.
Absolutely. I just recently interviewed a woman who's 98, still very active in the sales community, and she's amazing. And that was her one big piece of advice, was get a plan and work your plan and don't stray too far from your plan. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to listen to her talk about many, many, many years of working and staying successful and consistent throughout all those years. And that was her one single biggest piece of advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Consistency. It's also about doing what you know. People can read passion in your voice. You know, you can tell when the door is open, someone is fully engaged in what they're doing.
Right. So what are some new and exciting things that you're working on? And then you can close with telling us how our audience can find you.
Oh, okay. I am most interested now in, just because it's a challenging new market for business communications. So it's new ways of breaking through on just on email communications. A lot of companies still rely on email communications as a, you know, prime method. So there's a lot of studies, there's background, there's testing, there's A and B testing to use to make your communications more effective. People are only reading for about 4 or 5 lines, so it's making those 4 or 5 lines count. So I'm really challenging myself on that. Of course, I've been diving in for the last few years in social media and learning how I can bring some of that experience to others, to maybe an event I'm working on this year. It's another convention coming up in June. And using analytics. I'm always asking now, what are the analytics? What works for you? If emails go out on a Saturday, do people read them? Is it better at Monday morning at 11 o'clock a.m.? As you know, I worked on basically a podcast much like this show, interviewing experts in the meetings industry. And we got it down to the point where we knew what time those kinds of professionals would attend a show like that, for instance. And also, as I work with different companies, I work on a lot of collaborative software programs that are really helpful when you're working with a complex project that's over a 6-month or a year program that everyone can collaborate on simply and organize who's doing what and when. So I think those are the things I'm looking at the most.
Great. And how can we find you if people are interested in either your services or even finding where you're going to be performing your poetry? How can people find you?
Well, yeah, my creative writing site is at josephaukee.com. It's just josephaukee.com. And I can give my email as well, or you can find me on Facebook or LinkedIn.
Okay, perfect.
Which is jaukee@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Well, Joseph, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for your insights today. And I know everyone is going to glean a lot of wonderful information, and it has certainly been a pleasure for me having you on the show.
Belinda, it's great to talk to you, and thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends, and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.